afternoon.
Hey, guys. Hey, Rob. It's Rob Rice.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
How was your trip?
It was wonderful.
Good.
Absolutely spectacular. Thank you. The Dolomites of Italy are amazing. Very different from anything I've ever hiked.
I don't know if we ever talked about this, but I do some charity work with the Davis Finney Foundation, and being a cyclist, I'm sure you'll remember who Davis is. And he talks about some of the stages of the Giro and stuff that he won in the Dolomites, and he said they're much tougher than the Alps and the Swiss, than the Alps in France.
Yeah, they're amazing, and a lot of people do go there to cycle. But it's very convenient, and it's quite, if I were going to recommend that a person kind of do their first longer hikes, this would be a great place to go, because every night you end up in a refugio, they call them, a refuge, and it's you can get a cold beer or a glass of wine and a great meal and a decent place to sleep every night. And so that takes the, so it's a lot of couples, and, it can make it as hard as you want, or if you get tired, you can always take a gondola down or a...
Oh, that's nice.
A tram down or up, or so it's great skiing area. So they have beautiful lodges around, and so a couple nights we stayed in really 5-star hotels. It was kind of obscene compared to what we usually do.
Yeah, but it's a special vacation, so.
Yeah. It's really nice. So. How have you been, and how is Supernova going?
I think it's going really well. It's continuing to yield good comments from clients. We're seeing some assets come on. Sean's actually headed out to Jackson Hole next week. I'm headed up to New York. I don't know if you read much of Nick Murray. Yes, Nick Murray, right? But he's doing a behavioral finance seminar up there, which I've heard good things about, and I've read a lot about his stuff, and I think that fits right into us, kind of pivoting in Supernova and it being all about the service, our understanding of the client, the long-term strategy, and really managing their life as opposed to just chasing performances. So I committed to go to that, and one of the clients that Sean does a lot of work with, who's frankly a smaller client, has a million that we actively manage, maybe a million and a half. Her father is starting to get to the point that he needs a little bit of help, so Sean's going to go out there and meet with them, and I think he's going to come back with $6 million, so that's really exciting.
Oh. And he's in Jackson Hole?
No, he heads out to Jackson Hole next Thursday.
Okay. Jackson Hole's a fabulous place, and there's a lot of money there.
Yeah, it's interesting. He said the only problem with it, he said that getting there and back is not easy this time of year. I think he said he's got a 3 or 4 hour layover in Salt Lake on his way back home, so coming back home to Baltimore is not going to be a lot of fun, but $6 million, we'll sit in the airport and drink some bad coffee.
Yeah. No, it's a very wealthy, there's a lot of, they have that Jackson Hole financial seminar there, big, I don't know, it's a Fed Reserve or it's some big conference there every year.
Yes, I think it's kind of our version of Davos, and
right.
That's where Ben Bernanke made his famous Jackson Hole speech and basically said, I'm going to throw gasoline on this fire and keep throwing it on until it gets going. And we were off to the races after that.
No, that's right. That's exactly where it was. And so you've got, it turns out, because of that, a lot of New York, financial people have discovered it and have built beautiful homes there, and so it's quite the spot.
Yeah, I'm sure it's one of those things that used to be a relatively quiet and modest mountain town, and everything I hear, it's everything but that now.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful place to bike out of. If you ever get a chance to go there, go, because they have paths that go from Jackson Hole to Yellowstone Park. They also, you can bike across the mountains, across the pass, and then you're in Idaho, and then you have bike paths all the way up into Idaho. It's just amazing.
And, oh, my God, that is great.
Yeah, just fabulous fishing. That's where I go every year, and then we hike the Tetons there. And so I go to the Idaho side and fish the South Fork of the Snake. So it's a fabulous.
One of our clients has a place up in Steamboat, and he's a big fly fisherman, and that's what he's doing right now is fly fishing. I told you the story the other night about him going in. Did I tell you the story about him going in to buy a condo?
No.
He'd been out fly fishing. So he walks into this condo, this penthouse condo, and a couple of years earlier, it's kind of, I guess, towards the height of the market, the thing was like $3+ million. And so now they had it on the market for like $225. So he goes in and tells them, I'll pay you $1.9 million cash, and I'll close Friday. This is like Monday. And so they don't take him seriously. And so he says, all right, well, call this guy. So he says, hey, Rob, calls me. He says, hey, Rob, talk to this woman. And so I said, yeah, it's Rob Wright. Can I help you? And she said, whatever her name was. And she said that she was a real estate agent in Steamboat Springs representing the sellers of a condo. And your client, Mr. Healy, just walked in and told me that he could buy this thing and he's going to pay $1.9 million. Now she's now walked out onto the terrace because I can hear the wind blowing and everything. And she says, and I've got to be honest with you, he's standing in here with a T-shirt with what I hope is fish blood on it, shorts, and a pair of Kiva sandals. So, it just doesn't quite add up. And I said, well, I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. Do you want to sell the condo? And she said, well, of course I do. I said, well, then I would go in there and take Mr. Healy very seriously. So 3 hours later, he calls, and he says, hey, I want you to move that money around for me this next Thursday. I'll get you the instructions. I said, all right. I said, Tom, I can't believe you bought that place for $1.9 million. He said, I paid him $1.85. I charged him $50,000 for making me call you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's just that kind of guy. Here's the kind of guy he is. This is. You talk about a client you want to clone. He left Accenture with about $25 million.
Yep.
And he had gone to Catholic schools and had wrestled and was convinced that the Catholic school, the parochial school system, and his wrestling experience was what had contributed to his success. So when he got done, he worked the next 5 years as a math teacher, getting up at 5 a.m. and going and coaching wrestling for 5 years. So he felt like he gave back to something that gave so much to him.
Wow.
With $25 million in the bank. And at the time, Rob, we had to be $15 million, maybe more, in 5% AAA munis throwing off $750,000 tax-free income. And he still got up every morning at 5 a.m.
Yeah, but that's, guys like that don't do it for the money.
Exactly. Not at all.
No. I mean, it has nothing to do with the money. I mean, it's all about the purpose in life and giving back and helping, and he's a good guy.
Yeah, he really is.
I bet he gives some scholarships now.
You know what? Yes, he does. What he wants to do now is, I guess that NCAA wrestling is dying on the vine. So he wants to find a way to give some money to wrestling programs to try to keep wrestling as a viable collegiate sport, which I don't know any of the dynamics or any of the things around that. But what I did do, this is one of those connection things you and I talked about. So he got his MBA at the University of Maryland. I was over at one of my best buddy's house a week ago at his pool hanging out on a Sunday, and he introduced me to Mark, and so I just said, hey, Mark, how are you? So they're talking about, this guy knows everything there is to know about NCAA sports and this and that and everything else. So finally, Mark gets up and goes into the house to go to the restroom. I said, God, that guy knows a lot about NCAA sports and all this stuff. He said, well, shit, he ought to. He's the athletic director at the University of Maryland. And I said, well, there's my connection for Tom.
Perfect.
Are we the only ones on the – is anybody else dialed in?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We've been listening in.
I kept thinking somebody would say, Rob, shut up. It's time to go to work.
we were just waiting for our chance to jump in.
We're waiting for the pause.
All right.
I knew I'd have to take a breath sooner or later. Don, did you – Don, were you at least here to hear me singing your praises so you know I do say nice stuff out of your earshot?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, good.
And you were exactly right on the layout. We're just 3.5 hours. You were correct.
It sounds like it's worth it. It's a beautiful – it's not a bad airport now. They've made it decent. They've expanded it, so it's nice now.
Good.
So you can get a good coffee. All right, so bring me up to date, and what help do you guys need? What can I do at this point? And how are you doing on the meetings, all the details of Supernova? Let's just go through things and see where we're getting stuck.
Well, I'll address something just off the bat here, Rob. I mean, this is nothing directly related to Supernova, but Supernova has certainly helped with the most recent Wells Fargo scandal that we've been going through the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep.
As you might imagine, a number of clients have not been very pleased with the most recent news, and then today again, we're back in the headlines with the CEO forfeiting about $41 million, and then the woman was, what is she, like $20 million or something?
Yeah, she's not exercising options.
Yeah. So I would say that, and Rob and I had this conversation the other day, that, you know, having the 1242 implemented now for several months, if not, you know, 5 or 6 now, that it has certainly been beneficial for not having a large number of inbound phone calls and emails, that we've been in a much more proactive manner of addressing this issue, directly with clients versus having them to call in. So that's been certainly a positive attribute to it. But it certainly distracted us in the last couple of weeks in terms of being able to achieve on the objectives that we wanted to set forth. But the reaction from the clients has been fantastic as we have those conversations. And the simple fact that most of the responses are, look, I know you guys are my guys. You know, we've known that, you know, banking issues occur. You know, we look at the headlines of J.P. Morgan, City Bank of America having billions upon billions of fines related to the financial crisis, that they understand this. They never had any doubt or any question that we operate with a high level of integrity. And, again, just to have that reinforced was certainly a positive attribute that Supernova certainly helped us out with.
Well, that's great to hear because, you know, when and if we get the next crisis, financial, you know, some crisis that causes us to have clients upset, you can see from this event, this experience, that it is going to be so much easier and better to weather. I've had so many FAs say to me, I just never want to go through another, 2008-07 experience with, this many clients or without Supernova, and the ones that did go through it literally didn't lose a client. And they're the ones that tell me that it works. I mean, that's what I need to hear from you because, you know, the more we hone Supernova down and make it better and better and develop new best practices, it comes from your feedback in terms of client reaction, and this is just great to hear. It just reinforces the process and my belief in it. Because everybody,
you know, the other thing.
Yeah, everybody. Gets
it. The other thing, if I go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
I said everybody gets their chance in the hot seat. You know, it just rotates around. So you guys just happen to have it for this month.
One of the things that I think was also really, for me, reinforcing and kind of makes the bitter pill of our growth this year and our production being so far off is that Sean and Claudia went down to the Barron's Top Advisors Summit and came back and said that, and I'll let you tell you, I'm going to let them tell you what they said, but what I thought I heard them say was, is that seeing how the world is changing, that they are much more confident in our ability to not only prosper and thrive in that world, but to grow dramatically because of what we've done over the last couple of months. And Sean had an interesting conversation that he relayed to me of talking to a guy and saying, how's business? And Sean said, yeah, we're off about 20% this year. And the guy said, oh, my God, that's terrible. Sean says, eh, not really. I've never felt better about the business in my whole life. And the guy looked at him like he'd lost his mind.
Awesome.
And I actually brought up the fact that we had started working with you, and he said, I just got done reading your book. So I said, I gave him your email address, and he may be reaching out to you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I appreciate that very much. Very kind. Yeah. How about your the schedule of meetings and organizations, daily meetings, weekly meetings? How is that going? Are you staying on schedule, getting instruction? How's that going?
I think we're each morning. Hey, hi, this is Tara. I'm sorry. Each morning we have an operational meeting, short, could be
right.
5 minutes, it could be 20 minutes, just to go over what everyone's working on and what's completed and what needs to be completed. Sean's implemented a new kind of live working document where we keep track of all of our operational issues and things that need to be done and that are outstanding, which I think is going to help us stay organized. We are still working on an investment meeting.
Yep.
Once a week, as well as our Monday and Friday meetings to check in on our results. I think we've been staying pretty good on track, I think.
We've got our one-on-ones tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think our biggest challenge is probably still the separating the results and the activities meeting. So
yeah.
we're
still a struggle.
Cognizant of the fact that we need to do a better job at that, but I'd say that's probably our biggest struggle with the meeting.
Yeah, you're going to want to put in, you know, if you hit a home run, you're going to want to put that in there. But the idea, as long as you get the idea of it, you don't have to be absolutely pure, but the idea is that one meeting is all about activity. And, you know, the basic premise is that if you get the activity right, you're going to get the results. So the Monday meeting is about individual reporting on their process of generating activity giving. You know, how did we help the community? How did we help, you know, centers of influence? What did I do to generate energy among the people that I'm using to influence and send business to us? And then the Friday meeting is all about reporting as the vice presidents in terms of achievement versus the goals and strategies that you've set up to make your particular area successful. So that's results oriented, but it's done through the Vice President of Planning, Implementation, Brand Management, Marketing, and Leadership.
Hey, Rob. This is Tara. Quick question on that. Is that sometimes better, or maybe our struggle is that I'm the only person, like my results and my actions are the same under, and I report under the vice president of whatever I'm working on, because there's only four of us or five of us, so if we had a bigger team, would maybe we'd understand the difference between the Monday and Friday meetings, because we would have different actions and then report back on all the people that you're monitoring, but really I'm just monitoring myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, what are your responsibilities? Just go over them for me briefly. Let me.
Keeping track of our planning, making sure our numbers for planning are up, putting in new plans, updating plans, I guess keeping track of our brand, making sure that Rob and Sean are putting their calls in.
Reaching out to clients for missing information.
Yeah, reaching out to clients to make sure the plans are updated and see what other information we can get.
So your activity would be associated with making sure that you're engaged, that you're meeting with different people. It would be everything that you did to create create results, but you just wouldn't report the results.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's all the activity that you generate around your responsibilities without reporting the results. So I met with such and such. I met with such and such. I made these phone calls. I got this done. Everything is on track, you know, and everything was scheduled for our Supernova calls. Everybody is doing their activities according to our brand management. And then on Friday, you'd report in on how are we doing in the actual progress of Supernova. Did we, you know, how are we, we've got 90% of the clients in the system. We've done this many plans. The results of the plans are, you know, that this is, we brought in X number of dollars directly from planning. So you can be as detailed as you want in the Friday meeting in terms of the results. But the Monday meeting is really can be brief. It doesn't have to be long. It's just, you know, we're on track with our activity. Everybody is on track with their, you know, is doing their meetings and getting the meeting set regarding Supernova. Everybody's doing their job in terms of planning and getting the planning set. You know, we had this number of planning meetings scheduled. And then Friday is just, how did we do? So
okay.
I think the idea is that if we get the activity right, we're going to have the results. The problem teams have is the lack of activity. That's particularly clear in terms of marketing. You know, this week I met with four centers of influence. You know, well, that's a good, you know, that's great activity, right? We'll hear on Friday how I did. but the idea is that I was really, you know, really, I'm really busy. I'm fully engaged in the marketing side of things. You know, you're going out to, you know, to Jackson Hole. You know, I scheduled a meeting, going to Jackson Hole. I should have good results for you. And so on. So, teams just get bogged down with busy work and not the activity associated with the things that are long-term important but not urgent. So things like planning get postponed, and we don't want that. Things like marketing get postponed, and we don't want that. So the Monday meeting is about really, to me, getting recognition for the things we do on a daily basis and thanking everybody for doing those things, but also the things that we procrastinate on. And so to avoid the procrastination, we need to know how many meetings do we need to have to reach our goals, and are we hitting those numbers? And yes, I set five meetings, and I met with five people, so it was a great, you know, my Monday is good. my week was great. And then, you know, on the Friday meeting, you know, we'll show up. Did we bring in some money? Sure, we brought in $6 million. Awesome. Okay?
Got it. Awesome.
I think the daily meeting you're getting, that's all about, you know, coordinating, you know, communications, operations. You know, is somebody coming in that everybody, you know, if somebody's coming in and somebody else talked to them, do they really understand what they're going through? This person, you know, is going to be very sensitive because they're retiring. So please ask them about their retirement and their plans and listen, because that's kind of traumatic. Or, you know, they're just, their son was just accepted as a, you know, at West Point, and so make sure congratulate them again on their son's success. So it's just a communication, daily communication activity. It sounds like it's a little thing, but it's not. It's really important that you get this. To me, it's very important you get it right and that you separate the two. And that's why, you know, call the Monday morning meeting the giving meeting, because that's, you know, how did we give back? What did we do to make our world better? And are we engaged in giving? So, you know, those are important. What else? Any other challenges?
No, I think we're good.
You know, Rob, this is Rob. The one thing I would say is that I think that we want to always have kind of a good, better, best mentality about Supernova and those things, and always want to strive to get to more of what I would call kind of the perfected level where we're real masters of the process. And so I would really like, and, you know, maybe this is something we talk about offline or maybe something that we look at a little bit later, but to say, now that we've got the basics in here and we continue to refine it, I mean, you know, I don't feel like we're yet at kind of a masterful level of it. I mean, I'd like to see us implement the folders that you guys advocate, because we're not doing that. We're still doing some of our own things, and maybe it's a hybrid of what we do and what you do. And I still feel like there are some things that need to be more structured and more articulated. So, for example, I would think if you put all of us into a separate room and said, explain your onboarding process to me, my suspicion is you would hear generally 70% overlap, but there might be 30% of variations or, you know, things that we're not quite completely on the same pages on. So I think the first thing we had to do was start to – first of all, we had to buy into the concept that this was critical. We've absolutely done that 100%. Then we had to start to take the action and, you know, enforce the discipline on ourselves. And I'd say, you know, Sean's, you know, further along that. I still got a couple of people that I think are, you know, I've let them bounce me around on the calendars, but we're well down the road there. So I think the things that I see us needing help with are what I would call kind of the, you know, 202, you know, the 201 supernova. And, you know, I'm guessing at some point we're going to go to the 301 and the 401. And so I would just be interested in hearing, you know, how do you think that we get to those places and make those moves? And then the other thing I'm curious about how you monitor is people getting overloaded and stuff. And, you know, we talked about this early on. I mean, you know, the one thing I see with Sean is as the leader, he, you know, he's taking that very seriously and he's tracking, you know, lots and lots and lots of stuff. And I just want to know, are there any ways that you would say, hey, you know, you guys, this is how we regularly sit down and say, hey, is anybody overloaded? Is this still working efficiently? How do we do those things?
Yeah, I think that really good questions. So just, you know, going into the dirt a little bit quickly, I would go back and look at and make sure that that the clients are getting notified ahead of time that they're getting an agenda of the meeting every month, that there is a written email agenda that comes from a financial plan. And so for whatever piece is missing there, go back and if they don't have a plan, get them a plan. If you're not using an agenda, begin to use an agenda. The agenda comes from the plan. It comes from the things that the client needs that they haven't done. Then afterward, I'll give you a quick example. I mean, I went through it. I have a fabulous concierge physician. The problem is he doesn't know Supernova, and I haven't taken the time to teach it to him. So we had a wonderful physical. You know, he charges me $5,000 a year, gives me a half a day physical. It's fabulous. But then, you know, there were like four or five things we were going to do, and I'm still waiting for the executive summary of what I'm responsible for, what he's going to do, what our timeline is. So I'm kind of floating around saying it was a fabulous physical, but there were, you know, four or five things we were going to do that am I supposed to remember those things? Is he doing something about them? So I'm kind of left out there floating. So no matter how good the skill level of the advisor and the process is great, if you don't have the follow-up, the client's out there hanging. So make sure you're giving them an executive summary. And for a lot of teams, that's hard work, and they really don't want to do that. But it's really a best practice, and it closes the loop. And I will tell you, I know it's going to lead to introductions that you wouldn't get otherwise.
If I can just stop you there. See, so what I would say to you is, and I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but I will speak for myself and tell you, I don't think the vast majority of times people are getting agendas from me, and I know that I'm not doing recaps and things, and I also know that sometimes, you know, I'm talking to Sean on the phone 30 minutes before I've got a call with somebody, and that by and large, I'm focusing on markets and the performance of the portfolios. So what I would say is the good thing is we're making the calls, but I think that in terms of what you just laid out, I would have to give myself a failing grade on that. And that's what I mean. That's the detail. That's the nuance. That's the difference between the Ritz-Carlton and the Holiday Inn. They'll both give you a place to sleep, but, you know, which one do you want to be at?
Right. And that's why I bring them up, because those are the, you know, when we started Supernova, God bless, you know, we were happy to have somebody make a call. They weren't scheduled. They were just calls. You know, call every client every month. And, you know, we did 12-4-2, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't scheduled. Now we have an agenda. Your vice president of implementation, you know, that's the 24-month calendar, the 8 new topics that we're going to discuss over the next 24 months. What are they? When are we going to do it? Are we getting trained to do those things? And then are we sending the client ahead of time a one-pager on long-term care and then discussing it with them. So that also, you know, that becomes the ultimate client experience, where you're educating clients every month. They look forward to getting educated on you know, what are the pluses and minuses of setting up a grad. And when you're doing business with clients at your level, Rob, you need to be able to articulate that for them. And they would be very interested in that right now, by the way, because it's still very relevant. In fact, Rob Knapp's trying to figure out whether to do it or not, and he's not, you know, not really sure what the hell he's doing. So, and I think I know some stuff, but I don't know grads, and I don't know the pluses and the minuses. And that's, so there's a great topic for, you know, but you got to be trained, and you got to know what you're doing. So, here's what I'm doing with a team that is just really, really good. First of all, you guys have got to, I mean, we got to continue this, because we're really, you know, the program is supposed to be a year long, with 12 weeks of learning Supernova, and then 9 more months, once a month, for the next 9 months, where we go into finishing the things we didn't get done. So I'd like for you all to agree to sign up for that. And I think that gives me the continuity that I know I'm going to be here to coach you, and I can help finish off some of these things. So one of the things that I want to do is to have you all, and I don't want to overwhelm you, but you asked for it, so I'll give it to you, is to have you do each develop a business plan around your particular area. So it means I'm vice president of planning. So what are my 30, 60, 90-day goals for planning? What are my goals? And then what's my action plan to implement those goals? And what's my timeline for achieving them? You know, the 30, 60, 90 days of my timeline, what do I have to get done? Vice President of Implementation, we got to put together our 24-month calendar. I've got to be ahead of time each month, the month ahead. I've got to do some training and so forth. So, you know, Vice President of Implementation also has the responsibility of having exactly when you say, okay, this is how we bring in a new client, this is our process. Well, what about the investment process? Is that as clean as our Supernova process in terms of service? You know, is it consistent? Is it the same for each client with the same investment objective? Do we have any outliers? You know, is it cleaned up? And that's part of the vice president implementation's job, is to have that matrix and that basically everybody that comes in gets the same experience. So that is what we do in kind of phase two, is to help you build out that business plan, which is not a document that you put away, but is an ongoing process that you report on at that Friday meeting. How am I doing versus our plan and our action steps? And it becomes much more manageable. It becomes much more relevant, and I think you'd be really proud of your team when they have that kind of structure on their, you know, under their belt. So that, you know, that gets you to 201, and then I can, you know, talk a little more about 301. But it's really, I think if you can get 201 done, you're among the 1/8 of 1% that, and I think then you can take what you've already discovered internal marketing, and you know when you stand up and give the 5-star model and your business plan and your action steps for achieving it and how far you've gone and what you're doing, along with your service experience and your investment process, I mean your management team is going to go gaga. Okay, and you can be referred, you know, anywhere and everywhere because they're going to have such confidence in your ability to deliver everything because you're so organized. I mean, it just makes you look very, very smart. So, you know, it's really, you know, I just had a neighbor get accepted into the Top Gun program. Well, that's just He came over here as a little kid because I'm a Navy pilot, and we used to talk about flying. And here he is. He goes off, and now he's going to Top Gun school. So, I mean, that's what this is, you know. That 201 and so forth is Top Gun school. So let's, you know, get the other fundamentals down, and then we'll get to Top Gun.
Perfect. Good. That answers my question, so I think I have a sense of where we're headed.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then, you know, I want a copy of everything you're doing as you're doing it. And each person, each vice president is responsible then for achieving that. And we'll, you know, we'll hold you guys accountable as much as you want. But I like the idea of it. And I like seeing the business plans. And then, you know, I can give you feedback. It's like the day, it's like the Friday and Monday meeting. You know, I can go over it once and, you know, it's sort of like a blur. And then you got to go over it like four or five times. It's like the difference between a mastermind group and a center of influence. People get confused because it's the first time they're hearing it in some cases.
Right.
And then,
Sean, does that make sense to you? Sean, does that make sense to you what I'm saying?
No, it does, Robin. We were just here collectively talking here about ideas in terms of how we can get a lot of that moving forward. Because I too, Robin, I didn't jump in when you were saying this, but I have not done a good job of implementing agendas across the board or the follow-up emails after the fact. So we were just talking about ways to potentially correct that as well.
Right.
Rob, this is Claudia. I think it is, you know, helpful just kind of hearing the reminders that we need to do. But I think we I think we're ready for the next step, which is the agendas, and we potentially have a good plan in place that'll help to not
yeah.
make that.
And don't get me, and guys, don't get me wrong. I think everybody here would have taken the bet that 3 months from now we wouldn't be making calls. That was a pretty secure bet. So we bucked that trend, so I don't want to sound like I'm not thrilled with where we are. I always, in every aspect, I think, you know, Sean, we've always talked about that, good, better, best. And we're good right now. Let's get better.
Yeah, if this was...
We agree.
Yeah, getting this implemented and the reaction from the clients, this is just an additional level. The client's going to be like, wow, this just keeps getting better every time you guys do something. So, you know, the fact that we didn't come out of the gates with 100% compliance, I think is actually a benefit. Because
this serves
the clients for continuing to work with this
and improve it. Right. Yeah, good point. And that's the way Supernova has evolved. It's just, you know, good, better, best. And now, and so what we've done, here's just to give you a look forward. Once we finish the year of training, then what I want is this. Because, you know, I was an office manager forever and ran a district and did all that stuff. And part of the fun was hiring somebody, seeing them get married, have kids, become successful, do millions of dollars of business, and help them grow their life. You know, that was fun. The problem I have with this particular experience is that I get you guys up and going. I get all excited. You're like my superstars, and I care about you, and I want you to do well, and then you're gone. And so I don't want that. I want to have fewer teams and have them stay with me and me stay with you, because I just talked to a manager that I coached his office 6 years ago, and he said, Rob, there's so much backsliding, you know, it's just sad because I can't keep up with it. And so I don't want that. I want teams moving forward, not moving backward. And so what we're going to do is have an ongoing process of, you know, just like Ledbetter coaches some of the great golfers and so forth. I want to continue to coach you guys and then get together with you in person. And so we'll package that all together and do that on an annual basis. And I think it will keep things tight. You'll continue to get the best and the newest. And, you know, then the coaching becomes kind of 301, which is, you know, I have this case and, you know, I've been referred to this client. What do you think? How's the best way to approach it? Or I'm on this board and I've just been asked to do this. How do I manage that? And so forth. So there's a lot of things that we can do that are, once Supernova's in place, where I can really be a consultant to you rather than just a teacher. And that, to me, is where it really gets fun. And you know, we can take the marketing in whole new, you know, exciting directions and really leverage up your skills. I was thinking, you know, and I'll just share this. One of the things that I used to tell the guys when I was working with them is I said, you know, you remember that old TV show, I think it was about Rich and Famous. And I said, your job is to make yourselves rich. My job is to make you famous. And within the firm, there may only be 40,000 in this firm, but my job is to make you famous within the firm. So you show me skills that you are better than anybody else with, and I will have you out on the road as much as you like, but you'll be famous within this organization. And I said, there's some real value in that. And so we did that, and those were the people that went around and taught different products, services, and in the end, Supernova. And I think that is something we can do, and I think there's some real value in doing that. In terms of you know, the Barron's 100 is fabulous, but you also have a big constituency within your own organization that can refer you a lot of business, as you already have discovered. And that's important, that you be known and trusted in your community inside the firm. And so we can do, and I can help do that. So that's something I'd like. So there's a little longer-term vision of where I would like to go. And I don't have that many teams that I want to do this with. But you guys are there. I mean, you're already superstars. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested truly in Top Gun Olympic players, you know, people with the talent, not just a desire. And you've got the talent. So, and you've got the desire.
Well, one thing I know is, absolutely true, as you said, that, you know, people are either, you know, moving forwards or backwards. I don't think you ever stay the same. So I think the day that we decide, all right, we're here, let's coast for a while, I think that's the beginning of the end.
Well, I'm just really excited you guys have really seen, you know, the way forward for yourselves and have been willing to make these pretty dramatic changes, and you've done it, frankly, pretty effortlessly. I mean, I know it's been hard work for you, but boy, I don't hear pain and agony and crying and weeping. I mean, it seems like you've just really made a smooth transition here. And with that much desire, I think, you know, you can go an awful long way. So I'd like
the only pain and agony and weeping is from our managers who say there's no way they can get home this year because of our production. And yeah,
no, that's all right.
It is what it is.
You know, next year we'll be doing, you know, we'll be doing $6 million next year.
Yeah, they'll love us again soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are gonna explode. So it's, you know, they just have to be patient with this process, and it will. It's like annuitization, you know. Once it seems hard and painful and costly, but once you're up and running with it. You know, it just adds that much leverage, discretionary accounts, so much leverage. You just do the right things for people and for yourselves, and guess what? The business just then starts to really be automated and rules. So.
We did a $20 million swing, Robin, in AUM in a month.
I'm sorry?
We had a $20 million swing in net new assets from July 31st to August, so they were pretty pleased with that yesterday.
Good for you. Congratulations. Yeah, you're going to, I mean, God, you guys are great. I mean, you already get it. I don't have to talk to you about centers of influence or why they're important or, you know, you're already doing it. So, yeah, and that's one of the things I spent some time on the mountain when I was out hiking the Dolomites was one night I couldn't sleep, and I did this matrix of, you know, who do I really want to coach? And it was the teams that are already understand acquisition. They're not fear-based. They're committed. A little disorganized to start with. They can value what we do. And those are the teams, you know, with the talent. You know, they have the talent. There's nothing like talent. You know, I can help a lot of people, but when somebody wants to grow, they know how to grow, then just giving them the systems, the process, and the rituals to grow and to take care of their clients, and they take off. And now we're talking about a nuance in the golf swing rather than, you know, the fundamentals of whether they want to get out on the practice range or not. You know, you guys are there. So, That's the fun part for me. So, anyway, So that's the future. I hope you want to be a part of it. I'm excited. And like I said, there's only a few teams, you know, I will do this with. But I really want to, you guys are one of those teams, and I see it as a real opportunity, frankly, for both of us, because I need great teams that can stand up in front of a group and give a testimonial, and I think, you know, you guys clearly that if you're willing to do it.
Absolutely. Sean's already doing it. Down at Barron's.
Yeah, and God knows, with the Department of Labor and everything else that's going on, it's just, you guys are just in the catbird seat in terms of, you know, you're done. You know, if we can get a financial plan in every client and doing 1242 and rapid response and all that, it's just, they're already taking care of everything the Department of Labor wants. So we're way ahead, and, you know, I'm getting panic calls from managers saying, you know, this Department of Labor thing, you got to come and coach my teams. And you know, I can get around as much as I can, but I'm not going to kill myself. You guys are already there, and you get it. So let's keep it going.
Perfect.
All right.
Hey, Rob, before we wrap up, one really quick favor. Tara tried to get something to you, and we had a little glitch in the mail. Tara, can you tell them where you were sending this and figure out where we need to send it?
Okay.
Hi, Rob. I have your address is 513 Cornwall Court.
Carmel, Indiana. Yeah.
46032. Okay, that's what I have. FedEx. Do you not have? Do you have trouble with getting FedExes?
Well, my wife receives FedEx or UPS every day. We're like a store here.
All right.
All right, Tara.
Well, I'm going to try again because I sent it to 513 Cornwall Court in Carmel, Indiana, 46032.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's me. And if you look it up, you can Google us in Google Maps, and it shows, you know, Knapp Family Foundation at this address.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try again. It was out there for a while, but I'm going to try again, and we'll send it back to you.
Strange, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know. We're going
to
be
sorry.
Here.
I'm sorry. We were trying to get you something before your trip, so it might be a little delayed.
Thank you. You're very sweet. We're
get it up.
We'll be here till about November 3rd. Then we're down in Boca Grande, Florida.
Well, tell your wife, as shareholders of International Paper, we appreciate her patronage.
she's an active participant in the economic system.
That's a great way to put it. All right, Rob, thanks for your time, sir.
No, my pleasure. Look forward to our next session, and you guys have a great week.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye, Rob. Bye-bye.